following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Morning, everybody. How are you this morning? I feel like some kind of guy at the home show. Slices and dices and cuts and nuts and all that kind of stuff. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you for the invitation to bring the message. Appreciate that. And, I know it's cold this morning. But in my travels with the conference in the deepest, darkest parts of the prairies of this country, that's where it really gets cold, like 35 below. I know some of you probably experienced that. And those joyous moments when you're in a building and it's that hot, static charge builds up on you and you get within 18 inches of a metal doorknob and an 80,000 volt spark lights up from your finger and your heart restarts and your hair's on fire, and that's what happened, it's true. And I think it was Saskatchewan, I don't know, it might have been Manitoba, I was driving, it was about 11 at night, it was dark, there was nobody else on the road. It was snowing. It was 30, 35 below. There's snow banks on the side. I'm in my compact rental car, and I'm driving along, and, you know, the between the roads and the frozen tires, it's and I'm starting to realize that there's nobody else on the road. I'm in the middle of nowhere. If something happens to me here, I'm finished. There's no hope here. And I had this vision of piling into one of these snow banks in, you know, November, and maybe in April or May, you know, they would find me there, pull me out of the snow and take care of me. But anyways, it's been a blessing to serve on your behalf with the conference and the last 5 years, and it's been a tremendous benefit to me and to my Christian walk and getting to know Jesus better. Now, when I was asked to speak and I went into the preparation mode for the message, which is always a difficult time for me, and I start to get into the word and I get drawn into it, and one layer comes off and then there's another layer and you get deeper in and you get immersed in it, and finally I'll come up for air somewhere and I'm 100 miles from where I need to be, and I start to panic, and I how can I possibly bring a coherent, concise message to any of this? The greatness of God's word and the depth of his love for us and the riches of everything that he has provided to us through his grace. How do you capture any of that and create a message out of it? Well, you don't. Hopefully the Spirit does. But anyways, when I panic, like most men, the first thing I do is phone my wife. And I'm on the phone to her, and I'm lamenting. Oh, woe betide as me, I'm cast upon the drifts of Scripture, and I'm lost at sea, and I don't know where I'm going, and on and on. And finally, when I finish, there's a pause. And she says, just keep it simple. Pause. Just make your point. Oh, well, and I guess sensing maybe that some encouragement might be in order, She says, like you always do, you'll be fine. Oh, thank you, dear. So, I guess it remains to be seen, though, this morning. If things go well, you can thank God and my wife. And if things don't, you'll know that I, like many other husbands, don't take my wife's advice very well. So, but anyways, it's a significant time right now. Seasons of change everywhere, all around us. Creation, fall is passing into winter. In the church calendar, we're moving into the season of Advent from kind of what we regularly do. In Emmanuel, one chapter is closing and another one is opening with the work we're doing through Breakthrough and the Visionary Initiatives. In my own life, ...37 years of my professional life is coming to a close. That's good. Why am I feeling like this? But I've been spending time in God's Word and in prayer, searching God for what the next season of my life is. God, this always happen. God, how can I serve you? You have blessed me for 37 years in my job. How can I serve you now? And maybe in your life now, things are changing too. Maybe it's as simple as recognizing that the beautiful fall we had is turning into winter. Maybe it's as we move into the season of Advent, you're looking for newness in your relationship to Christ and a new appreciation of the birth of when the Word became flesh. Or maybe as Emmanuel moves into a new chapter, you're asking yourself, what does this mean for me? Where do I fit into all of this? How can I serve God in this new chapter of Emmanuel's life? Or maybe in your own life, like me, you're at a crossroads and you're contemplating significant change and you're seeking direction from God. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is constantly in a season of change while in the continuous pursuit of God's will for his life with the unceasing call of Jesus upon him into mission and ministry. He shares in chapter 3 of Philippians how he isn't even close to having it all figured out. But there is one thing that he does know, and that is how to prepare, position, and pursue God's call on his life. And that is to forget the things which are behind, reach forward to those things which are ahead, and press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we're going to take a look at that. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be here this morning, the body of Emmanuel, living in your love and grace. Praise be to God. You have set the banquet table of worship before us this morning, Lord, with the music, with the wonderful decorations that somebody has done here, with the ministry of your word, with our time of prayer and of tithing. It's all before us this morning, Lord. And so we humble ourselves and we worship you this morning. And be with us in the ministration of your word this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, keeping it simple and making my point number one, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul is telling us that it's not possible to reach forward to the things that are ahead in Christ Jesus until we forget the things which are behind, until we leave the things that are behind behind. Jesus wants us to dump all of our baggage, any of the things which we may carry around with us that come between him and us, our intentional or habitual sin, cynical, judgmental, or critical attitudes, pride in our own works and accomplishments, the hurt of broken relationships, the deep roots of bitterness, feelings of inadequacy or low self-esteem, guilt, anger, fear, depression, worry, etc., etc., etc. There's no shortage of what might afflict us in this life as the old nature wages war within us with our new spiritual nature. And that war is never going to end until the day we reign with Jesus in heaven. Our witness to the world is comprised of what we say and what we do. And what we say and what we do is driven by what we believe. And what we believe is driven by who and what has jurisdiction over our hearts. In Proverbs it says, "My child, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways." Whatever governs our hearts governs our witness to the world. If we allow this baggage to accumulate on our hearts, it gets in the way of our attitude, our ministry to the world. We get critical and judgmental, and we lose our perspective. And I've been there. And you criticize everything you set your eyes on. You criticize the government. You criticize your neighbors. You criticize church, the saved, the unsaved. On and on it goes as the bitterness of a hardened bondage gets expressed through the things that you say and the things that you do. Yes, it's a fallen world, and we are fallen people, but as Christians, our witness needs to be to God's grace in this world. We need to get these things out of our heart and flip our perspective. I mean, look at it. This church itself, it was here that people came from the community on their own free will to vote for whomever they want, and a government is elected in a way there's no corruption, and that happens in not that many places in the world. And then we can leave here and we can get in a car and drive out on these smooth roads that Kristen and her crew build. And we can go up the street, and if we're in medical distress, there's a hospital right there. And if we don't need to go to the hospital, we can keep going, and we're in the middle of grocery stores. We can buy whatever we need and whatever we eat. And if the police pull us over because we're going a little too fast, then it's not to snatch 50 pesos from our pocket. It's because we're doing something wrong. We need to be thankful for God's grace in this country. We are the envy of the world. We, you know, think about it, that we're not sitting in some boat on the water waves in the Middle East off the coast of Syria with your family and your whole life at risk. Or you're not in a jail cell in North Korea because you've chosen to worship on a Sunday and the police have arrested you. Or you're not laying in a ditch in Africa somewhere in medical distress and there's nowhere to go and nobody to help you. We are so fortunate here that what we say and what we do has to be a testimony of the grace of God in our life here. We are so blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And if we can see God, then the unsaved will see God in us and be drawn to him. Our ability to evangelize in this world is directly proportional to the condition of our hearts. We need to keep our hearts right with God. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So, how do we leave the things behind us behind? How do we let go of the past so God can open the door of our future. Paul declares that it is done by reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Oswald Chambers says that our reach should exceed our grasp. But what does that look like? Hebrews 12:2 provides the answer. We are to turn our eyes unto Jesus. That's how we see ahead, how we reach forward, how we leave the things which are behind us behind. But how does that work practically? Firstly, Jesus wants to talk to us. Jesus is the Word. He wants to whisper the beauty of the psalmic poetry in our ear so that we are equipped to praise and worship Him. He wants to fill our minds with proverbial wisdom so that we are well equipped for decision making. He wants to explain the grand plan of universal redemption so that we understand our salvation. He wants us to learn of His suffering so that when we suffer, we know that He understands. He wants to reveal the wonder and beauty and mysteries of God. He wants to talk to us. We need to read our Bibles. Secondly, He wants to listen to us in the place of prayer. He wants us to pour out our hearts to Him. He wants our purposeful prayer. He wants our intercessory prayer. He wants our corporate prayer. He is our high priest seated at the right hand of God. Can you see Jesus now, sitting at the right hand of God, our intercessor? Behold, Father, here are my beloved sheep, the church of Emmanuel, the ones I gave my life for. Look how they believe in us and what we have done for them. Look how they worship us. Look, despite their broken and sinful world, despite living in the midst of death and affliction, despite all of this, they believe in faith that we are. And look how they come and humble themselves and bring their prayers to us, knowing and believing that we created them, that we love them, and that they will spend eternity with us. Hear their prayers, my Father, that we might be glorified in their lives and the lives of those they are praying for. We need to pray continually and with conviction. Thirdly, Jesus wants to walk with us, to minister to us through His Spirit. Follow me, whispers His Spirit. He has gone before us in a journey of mission that is barely able to be comprehended by us. And He calls us into that journey for the sake of His great name and His kingdom to come. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. We need to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. When we reach forward to those things which are ahead, by turning our eyes unto Jesus and surrendering ourselves into His Word, into prayer, and into the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not only can we reach forward in our lives, but we become entirely able to leave the things of behind behind. Because by turning our eyes on Jesus, we become like Jesus. We become Christ-like. And because the things of the world have no hold on Jesus, they therefore have no hold on us. And we are released from them. Free from sin, free from pride, free from guilt, anger, addiction, bitterness, worry, lust, free from them all. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. I press toward the goal. Forgetting what is behind, reaching ahead, Paul urges us to press on toward the goal for the prize. When we are deep in the race of following Jesus into mission and ministry, things can get tough. Ministry is messy. We will be pressed on all sides by a formidable enemy. The Greek word for this form of endurance in the journey or race is spelled A-G-O-N. In English, we add a Y to it, and we get the word agony. So what do? I love the man Eric Liddell and everything he stands for, the runner from the Chariots of Fire. Everybody remembers the Chariots of Fire and how God worked in such a magnificent way in his life at that time. But the great part of his life story is what happens after that when he goes into mission service in China. But anyways, what he says, the secret of my success over the 400 meters is that I run the first 200 meters as hard as I can, then for the second 200 meters, with God's help, I run harder. This is the place in mission and ministry when we're deep in the run of it, where we realize that we are way over our heads, and we are, but Jesus isn't. This is the place where we are past the point of no return, and we are, but Jesus isn't. This is the place where we sense that we can't do it on our own, and we're right, we can't, but Jesus can. This is the place in which Jesus will never abandon us because he has been there himself. This is the place where we have to utterly and completely surrender ourselves into his trust. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So forgetting what is behind, we reach forward to what is ahead and press on into the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Do we have a clear sense of God's call on our own lives? Can we articulate what we believe God's will is for us at this moment in time? J. Sidlow Baxter, who writes a devotional that we use on Tuesday night at our prayer meeting, he puts it like this when explaining how we are to determine God's will for our lives. He tells the story of a prominent pastor and evangelist, F.B. Meyer. And Meyer was on a boat, and he was going from Belfast to Liverpool. And it was late at night. It was a dark and greasy ocean. And this was like back in the turn of the century times, and there was no radar or GPS or all the fancy stuff to guide the boat in. The captain basically had to know how to get across that ocean or water and park that boat in the dark. And as they were approaching Liverpool, Myers is looking and he's starting to get a little distressed because how's this captain going to find the right place to park this boat without shipwrecking us? Particularly because there's all these lights and distractions emitting from Liverpool, and how's he going to find his way through that? So finally he says to the captain, "Captain, how are you going to find the right way to moor this boat? How are you going to find the harbor?" And he says, "Come on over here." And he brought him over to the bridge part, and he said, "Look." And he showed him three lights, and he said, "There are three distinct lights that I can see. And what happens is I allow the boat to drift across, and eventually one light lines up with the other, and then those two line up with the third, and then I go straight in on those three lights, and I land exactly where I need to." And Baxter says that those three lights that we need to align in our lives are what God reveals to us in the Word, the inward ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the cooperation of outward circumstances and the affirmations of fellow believers. In Chicago, I was representing the Canada Conference for the Denominational Presidential Search Committee. And it's no different than, we have a search committee here for a pastor, we have a search committee in the conference for the superintendent, and we have a search committee in the denomination for the president's position. And I was only there because I'm the conference chair, there's nothing special about me, but because my duties required me to be there, and so I went there. And we spent amount of time in the morning getting together the questions, the things we wanted to talk to the incumbent, Gary Walters, about. And he came in after lunch, and we began to ask him the questions, and he shared his faith journey to date and how it related to the call on his life for the denominational president position. It was a most captivating interview. It was an hour and a half, 2 hours, I don't know. It seemed to go by in 10 minutes. With an economy of words and in the most graciousness of humility, he outlined how God had prepared and placed him for the call of this position, how God had called him to lead in the position, the trials, tribulations, and victories while in the position, and his clear and focused vision of going forward should he remain in the position. It was abundantly clear that the three lights for Gary are in perfect alignment. He is absolutely in the center of God's will. God used that time with Gary in helping me determine how I am to view and form my own going forward. And God is so willing to do the same for you too. I'm convinced all of you are at a different place, a different season in your life now. If you weren't, we wouldn't be human. I don't know how God's speaking to you now, but I know He is speaking to you. And if you're not hearing Him, He wants you to hear Him. When we leave behind the things that are behind us, and we turn our eyes on Jesus, and we run the race with perseverance and faith, trusting in and relying utterly upon the power of Jesus, into that which He has called us individually, then we will find ourselves in the center of the will of God for our lives. And there's no better place for us to be. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together in Your Word. We pray, Lord, that as we go from here into the time of Advent, into the new season for Emmanuel, into the new season for our lives, that You would continue to be present with us in Your grace and Your love, leading us and guiding us, helping us to leave the baggage behind, to reach forward into what You've called us, that we might bring glory to Your name and to Your kingdom to come. And that we would remain in that until the day that You call us into Your glory and we reign forever and ever. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.